called Treestube, and it's four divisions of 11 meters each. And this is also a really common Vedic meter, and we see that as well a lot in Bhagavad Gita. Translation. My Lord, you are fully situated in everyone's heart, but the living entities covered by the material body cannot see you, for they are influenced by the external energy, conducted by the three modes of material nature. Their intelligence being covered by sattva-guna, rajo-guna, and tamo-guna, they can only see the actions and reactions of these three modes of material nature. Because of the actions and reactions of the mode of ignorance, whether the living entities are awake or sleeping, they can see only the workings of material nature. They cannot see your lordship. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Unless one is situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, one is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. However, because the conditioned souls are influenced by material nature, they can only see the actions and reactions of material nature, but not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one must purify himself internally and externally. Apavitra pavitrova sarvastam gato piva yasmare pundarikaksham sabahyabhyantara suchihi. To keep ourselves externally clean, we should bathe three times daily. Do you guys know that? Actually, the injunction is brahmacharis should bathe once a day, grihasthas should bathe twice a day, and sannyasis should bathe three times a day. So you're off the hook. Once a day, though, okay? To keep ourselves externally clean, we should bathe three times daily, and for internal cleanliness, we must cleanse the heart by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement must always follow this principle. Bahya Bhyantara Suchi. Then it will one day be possible to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langhayate girim jat kripa tamaham bande shri gurum dinataranam nama om vishnu padaya krishna prishtaya bhutale srimate bhaktivedanta swaminiti namine namaste saraswati deve gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya prachatarine vishva Pancha kalpatrubhyasta kripa sindhubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. My Lord, you're fully situated in everyone's heart, but the living entities covered by the material body cannot see you, for they are influenced by the external energy, covered by the three modes of material nature. Their intelligence being covered by sattva-guna, rajo-guna, and tamo-guna, they can see only the actions and reactions of these three modes of material nature. Because of the actions and reactions of the mode of ignorance, whether the living entities are awake or sleeping, they can see only the workings of material nature. They cannot see your lordship. So in order to perceive what's going on around us at different levels requires some qualifications. For example, if someone has lived in the country his entire life or her entire life, and they come into a city, not a city like Gainesville, but say a city like, oh, New York City. I've never been there. They go into a city like New York City, they'd be so overwhelmed by everything that's going on. So many tall buildings, so many vehicles, so many people doing so many things at such a frenzied pace that they would probably become so overwhelmed that they wouldn't really have a clue what's going on. It would take them a while to acculturate, to become accustomed to how things work in New York City. I've been to some big cities. I used to live, when I was young, I used to live in the Washington, D.C. area, and going into Alexandria was, Alexandria is a pretty big city, but then you go into Washington. Oh, anybody ever drive in Washington, D.C.? Fun, huh? Yeah, right. Fun, right? That's a city that was not laid out for automobiles. It was planned by General L'Enfant over 200 years ago for people on horses and some people who had carriages. And I remember driving in Washington, D.C. is an adventure. And if you're not accustomed to it, you know, if you say you come from Waukene, Kansas or something, and you drive cross country to Washington, D.C., or you fly into, say, Reagan National Airport, and you rent a car there at National Rent-A-Car, and you go drive into Washington, you're just going to be in trouble. There's just no way around it. If you go into the middle of the ocean, you're going to be lost. If you take that same person from Waukene, Kansas, and drop and put them in the middle of the ocean in, say, a Polynesian sailing canoe, they'll be lost, because it takes certain qualifications to see what's going on in the ocean, to understand the tides, to read the stars, and to get a sense of where you are and how to get where you want to go. But there are people who can do that. They're called Polynesians. They're called Hawaiians. I mean, the way, as best we can figure, the way people got to Hawaii was, of course, actually, it's interesting. The mythologies go both ways. In Hawaii, you hear that the people came originally from Tahiti, and then through maybe the Marquesas, and then Samoa, and but they sailed that vast expanse of ocean in those double-hulled canoes with pigs and chickens and breadfruit plants and taro plants and everything and all the people. And they, you know, they knew how to find these islands, and they knew how to get back and forth. Now, if you live in New Zealand, apparently the Maori culture has the Maori culture coming from Hawaiki, which is Hawaii. So it's kind of interesting to see how their different accounts of how their homes became populated. Same thing if you go into the mountains. You need to have certain qualifications. You need to be able to understand. Now, most of us have some sense of what's going on in the world around us. But as we learn more how things work at finer and finer levels, our understanding becomes more sophisticated, sometimes much more interesting than it might have been when we weren't so educated. And, you know, some people will come here and they'll see the gardens and they'll think, wow, that's really amazing that they did something like that. But the people who do it know, you have to have a bit of an eye. You have to talk to people about what grows well here at what times of the year. And, and you have to work at it every day. You have to keep up with them every day. It's not a huge mystery, but to many others, it may be just amazing to come and see such a nicely landscaped property. If you're a physicist, say you're a particle physicist or some kind of theoretical physicist or something, and you think all mathy all the time, anybody ever sit behind Sadaputta when he was sitting in a Bhagavatam class? Interesting, huh? He's thinking in math in the middle of the Bhagavatam class. It's not that he doesn't know what's going on, but he's got all this mathy stuff. He had all this mathy stuff going on in his head, and he'd be filling up pages of his yellow pad with all this mathy stuff. And I'm saying, whoa! And then he'd ask a question about the class. It was really interesting to see. People like that see what's going on in the world. It's like some of these people who, like Yogeshwar's brother Brian Green, who are into all this theoretical physics, and they have a sense of kind of what string theory is about and how there might be the world might. We think of the world sometimes in three dimensions, sometimes in four. These people are trying to think of the world. They see that the world somehow or other seems to, otherwise it doesn't explain everything that's going on, seems to be happening in 10 or 11 dimensions. I mean, we can't even imagine that. Circuits start to pop when we even think about these things. But Brian Greene and Michio Kaku and all these kinds of folks not only understand it, but they can make it somewhat understandable for people like us. And so they have to see the world generally. Sometimes I don't know how they generally relate to the world when they're walking down the street, you know, they're walking across campus or walking down the hall in their office building or something. But they can see the world in more interesting ways than many of us. So it takes some qualification, it takes some training, it takes some education. So here, Angshumam is addressing Lord Kapiladev, and he's saying that, you know, most of us are going, because we're completely controlled by the three modes of material nature, that's all we can see. That's all we can see is the interactions of the three modes of material nature. And even these really cool physicist folks, still, that's all they can see. They may see it happening a little bit more finely than some folks. They may have more interesting things to think about. But that's as far as they can see, as far as the senses and the mind can penetrate. And that's it. Dull matter and a little subtle matter. Sometimes they can understand kind of some of the subtle workings of the universe. But beyond that, they can't see. Because their education, they need to become, their senses, their mode of perception needs to become more refined. So they have to be able, they have to learn the process of seeing. Just as they went through so many years of training to kind of, you know, try to see how things might be working in 10 or 11 dimensions, or the sailors have to undergo so much training to understand how to cross the ocean. So anybody who wants to see beyond the three modes of material nature, to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, has to undergo some training, some purification. And we know the ultimate purification is chanting the holy names of Krishna, as Srila Prabhupada says in this purport. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam shaya kairava chandrika avataranam vidyavatu jivam. There are seven benefits that Lord Chaitanya mentions in the first verse of the Shikshastakam. And first among those is Cheto Darpana Marjanam, that it cleanses the mirror of the mind, cleanses the mirror of the heart. It cleanses our consciousness so we can see ourselves as we really are. So that's absolutely necessary. But that's really only possible to do when we actually undergo the training. And Krishna himself tells us in Bhagavad Gita what qualification is necessary for seeing beyond the three modes of material nature. In chapter 7, he says, Daivihyesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mameva je prapadyante mayame tang tarantite. This divine energy of mine, he says, this energy, this maya, this is his. And because it's his, therefore it's considered divine. And it certainly overwhelms us. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome. Krishna admits this. It's not easy. It takes some doing. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So if we find ourselves in, say we find ourselves in the ocean, we don't understand anything about the ocean. We go swimming, go down to the beach, and we go swimming in the ocean. And somehow or other, we miss the signs that tell us about rip currents and what to do about rip currents. And we miss the flags that tell us don't go in the water today and all those sorts of things. And we get caught in a rip current. We need somebody to pull us out if we don't know how to deal with it. Just like, what was it, a few months ago, some kids were at a family picnic, and somehow or other none of the kids in this family know how to swim. And so they're playing around at the edge of a river, and one of them steps off a 20-foot ledge into deep water. Now none of these kids can swim, and sinks. So one of the other kids goes to try to save this kid. Well, that kid doesn't know how to swim. How many kids were lost in that? Six or eight kids were drowned just because they didn't know how to swim. Because nobody knew how to swim. If you don't know how to swim and you get lost in the water, you need someone who knows how to swim to help you. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport to this verse, another meaning of guna is rope. It is to be understood that the conditioned soul is tightly tied by the ropes of illusion. A man bound by the hands and feet cannot free himself. He must be helped by a person who's unbound. Because the bound cannot help the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. Therefore, only Lord Krishna, or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. Devotional service or Krishna consciousness can help one gain such release. Krishna, being the Lord of the illusory energy, can order his insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. He orders this relief out of his causeless mercy on the surrendered soul and out of his paternal affection for the living entity who is originally a beloved son of the Lord. Therefore, surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord are the only means to get free from the clutches of the stringent material nature. And the acharyas describe this material nature being made of, it's like a rope. Guna means rope, but this rope is made of three strands: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Now, if you take a cord and tie things up, it might be pretty strong. But if you take three cords and twist them together or braid them together and make a rope, that's something even stronger, and you can hold a much greater weight. So we find ourselves completely bound up by these the influence of the modes of passion, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And we cannot see beyond that without help, without proper training. If we surrender to the Supreme Personality of God, Godhead, through his representative, the spiritual master, and submit ourselves to be trained by that person, then we can become free. Then we can not only see beyond the three modes of material nature, but we can live, we can act beyond the three modes of material nature and actually enter the spiritual sky. But this takes, as I said, some doing. Just like if you want to go in the ocean, if you want to go in the river, it's a good idea to learn how to swim. So you have to find someone who knows not only how to swim, but how to teach other people to swim. Spend some time with that person. Listen carefully. Follow that person's instructions. And then at a certain point, that person will say, cool, go for it. Have fun. Go body surfing. So in the same way, we have to submit ourselves to someone who understands not only what Krishna consciousness is, but how to get us from there to here, right? And you go to the mall and you wonder, oh my gosh, where am I? Especially if it's not a mall you're familiar with. So you look for the map, and you look on the map for the little thing, the little red dot with the arrow that says you are here. Once you know where you are, then you can figure out how to get to whatever the store is that you need to go to. So we need that kind of guidance. What does Krishna say? Those who have surrendered to me can easily cross beyond it. So somehow or other, these verses always come to this for me. Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam. Everything in Bhagavad Gita comes to this, right? Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja ahum tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami ma shucha. Don't worry. Sarva dharman parityaja, whatever sense of duty, whatever religion, whatever else it is you think you have to worry about, let it go. Sarva dharman parityaja, completely let it go. Mamekam sharanam braja, surrender to me exclusively, take exclusive shelter of me. Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja ahum tvam sarva papebhyo. I'll release you even from the reactions to your sinful activities. I mean, this is the way the material nature works. We get what's coming to us, you know. We do things and nature responds to us according to the way we behave. But Krishna says, you know, I'll put that on hold. I'll press the pause button for that. And moksha ishyami, I will personally deliver you, ma suchaha. Don't worry. not that big a deal for me. This is my material nature after all. So it all comes down ultimately again to Shadanga Sharanagati, and the core of that is Goptrate Varanam, the Swarupa Lakshana, the essential aspect of Sharanagati is accepting Krishna as your exclusive shelter, your exclusive maintainer. So sometimes when I come to this point, I go on a little bit about one of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs on this. And I thought I would just quickly read the translations to all four of the songs that he wrote in Sharanagati dealing with this particular aspect of surrender. There are four songs. He says, "By what personal understanding or by what power has one such as I come to your shelter? Surely it is by your mercy alone, for as Doya Moy and Patita Pavan, you are ever engaged in the deliverance of the fallen souls. My only hope, O Lord, is that you are full of compassion and mercy. There is no one more in need of your mercy than I. You will surely drive away all my fears. No one else in the world has the power to rescue me. O merciful Lord, by your decree, kindly deliver this vile and lowly sinner. I have given up everything and come to your lotus feet, O Lord. I'm your eternal servant and you are the maintainer. You are my sole protector, O Lord of the universe. Everything is yours. I am merely your menial servant. So it is certain that you will deliver me. I have chosen your lotus feet as my only shelter. I no longer belong to myself." Bhaktivinoda weeps as he humbly takes shelter at your feet, forgiving all his offenses, affording him a taste for the holy name. Oh, kindly maintain him. "Within my mind, I've always been anxious for maintenance of my wife and children, my own body and relatives. How will I earn money? How will I acquire fame? How will I arrange the marriages of my sons and daughters? Now, through self-surrender, ebe atma samarpane, now through self-surrender, I've been relieved of all anxiety. Oh Lord, surely you will provide for the maintenance of your own household. Recognizing me as your own servant, you will certainly maintain me. While rendering devotional service unto you, I feel the greatest happiness. All events take place only by your will, O Lord. The deluded soul of this world declares, I am the doer. But this is pure folly. What is a tiny soul actually able to do unless you act? The jiva can only desire to act, and unless you fulfill his desire by your own sweet will, he cannot do anything. Being free from all anxiety, I will humbly render service unto you. If any good or evil should occur while serving in your home, it will not be my responsibility. It's not my worry. Whatever happens, I don't, you know, not like I could had any control over it anyway. Bhaktivinoda thus completely renounces his own independence and engages in the exclusive service of your lotus feet with no other interest in life. Now that I have surrendered all that I possess unto your lotus feet, I throw myself down before your house. You are the master of the house. Kindly consider me your own dog. Chaining me nearby, you will maintain me, and I shall lie at your doorstep. I will not allow your enemies to enter, but will keep them outside the bounds of the surrounding moat. Whatever food remnants your devotees leave behind after honoring your prasad will be my daily sustenance. I will feast on those remnants in great bliss. While sitting up or lying down, I constantly meditate on your lotus feet. Whenever you call, I will immediately run to you and dance in rapture. Anybody ever have a dog? Right, Burfi and Sandesh, right, you call them? Oh, man. Oh, yeah, we're going to play. Or whatever, you know. Whatever it is Bali wants, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be cool. I will never think for my own nourishment and will remain absorbed in ever-cherishing love for my master. Bhaktivinoda now accepts you as his only maintainer. And then he sings, Tumi Sarveshwareshwaras Brajendra Kumar. Oh, youthful son of the king of Braja, you're the lord of all lords. According to your will, creation and destruction take place in the universe. According to your will, Brahma creates, and according to your will, Vishnu maintains. According to your will, Shiva destroys, and according to your will, Maya constructs the prison house of this world. According to your will, the living beings take birth and die. And according to your will, they meet with prosperity and ruin, happiness and sorrow. The tiny soul bound up by Maya vainly struggles in the fetters of worldly desire. Without your sanction, he's unable to do anything. You are my only protector and maintainer. Except for your lotus feet, there is no other hope for me. No longer confident of my own strength and endeavor, I have become solely dependent on your will. Bhaktivinoda is most poor, and his pride has been leveled. Now, in accordance with your will, he lives and dies. But we can come to this point only when we actually gain some faith in Krishna's constant reassurances. We find them everywhere. We read this Bhagavad Gita purport, we see in several instances quotations from different Upanishads where Krishna assures us that if we take shelter of him, he will protect us, he will deliver us, he'll take care of everything for us. And then when we read once more, maybe we should have seminars on Sharanga Sharanagati. We read once more in Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatan Goswami in the process of devotional service, where Lord Chaitanya says, he's kind of preparing Sanatan to hear the process of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. He says, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hayandakar Yahan Krishna Tahan Nahi Maya Radhika. Krishna is compared to the sunshine and Maya is compared to darkness. So all these scientists, what they understand is more and more about darkness. So they become more and more deeply immersed in darkness. So we've got someone like everybody's hero, big scientific hero, Stephen Hawking, coming out with a book saying, it's all math, you know. We don't need God to have a universe or living beings. Now, here's what Hawking doesn't say. Here's what the book does not say, lest we get too excited. It doesn't say there is no God. Here's proof that there is no God. It just says, for what we got here, according to our calculations, it doesn't seem we really need God to make this stuff happen. Math kind of explains it. How much more deeply immersed in darkness can you get? what set it in motion? Oh, math set it in motion. Okay, we've got other things to discuss. As soon as one takes to Krishna consciousness, the darkness of illusion will immediately vanish. And then there's a wonderful verse from the Bhagavatam. Vilajya manaya yasya sthatum ikshapate muya himohita vikattante mamaham iti durdiyaha. The illusory energy of Krishna known as Maya is always ashamed. So Lord Chaitanya, as we see, Krishnadas Kaviraj has Lord Chaitanya saying something, and then he always backs it up with a couple of verses from the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Puranas, Vedanta Sutra, or whatever. So he says, this illusory energy of Krishna known as Maya is always ashamed to stand in front of Krishna, just as darkness is ashamed to remain before the sunshine. However, that Maya bewilders unfortunate people who have no intelligence. Thus they simply boast that this material world is theirs and that they are its enjoyers. And then he says, one is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya if he seriously and sincerely says, my dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in this material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service. And then, to back that up, Krishnadas Kaviraj has Lord Chaitanya citing a verse from the Ramayana where Lord Ramchandra says, it is my vow. We take a vow, we usually try to take them pretty seriously. I mean, if it comes to taking a vow, just like you hear these people in the gangster movies, I swear on the life of my wife and children and on my mother's grave. I'm not a rat. So when you take those vows, that it's supposed to be taken pretty seriously. But here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead taking a vow. How heavy is that? It is my vow that if one once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day I'm yours, and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time. So many assurances. And still we think, yeah, it's a nice sentiment, but what does that have to do with my real life? You know, so I remember a few years ago on the Big Island when I would do my puja, sometimes my wife would read from the Bhagavatam to me. And she was reading from the third volume of the first canto of the Bhagavatam. The Pandavas retire timely, and even better, Dhritarashtra quits home with Vidura instructing Dhritarashtra. And he's telling him, you know, you're getting long in the tooth, your teeth are falling out, everything's breaking down, you're sitting around here taking scraps from your relatives like a pet dog. What is that about? Get out! And I'm hearing these verses and I'm thinking, oh my God, this is Srila Prabhupada screaming at me. What are you doing? Your house is on fire. Run away, run away. But, you know, when I was 22, I was reading this. Thinking, yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Someday that, you know, that's cool. And, but now, I mean, some of us are 55, 60, 65 years old. Some of us older, not in this room, but some of us even older. And guess what? It's a 3-alarm, it's a 12-alarm fire. Your house is on fire. Time's up. Oh, you think you're 25, 28, 29, 18? Your time's not up yet. You've got plenty of time. Check out those Hare Krishna websites. See who passed away yesterday. Yeah, maybe yesterday it was somebody 61. Day before that, it was somebody who was 28. So we should understand, we have this human form of life. That's the alarm. Is that my alarm? That's the alarm. Your house is on fire. Take the advice of King Arthur from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Run away! Run away! When the French start lobbing the Trojan bunny at you or something, you know. We're in trouble. We're in big trouble. And if those of us who are younger don't think so, go spend a week with your folks. Go spend a weekend with Grandma and Grandpa. And guess what? It'll become really clear that our house is on fire. Any discussion? That was my... Actually, that whatever that was, it went off right when the trap door should open and swallow me. So, any brief discussion? Okay, I guess it's time for us all to go. Not run away, but run straight to the lotus feet of Krishna. Okay, thank you so much for your patience. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga.